Be taking your Bibles this morning, if you will, find the book of Romans. Romans, the 13th chapter, the 11th verse. And keep that Bible open throughout the message. And if you would please rise as we honor God with a reading of His holy word this morning. Romans chapter 11, or chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Would you bow with me in prayer? O Lord God, Father, I pray that you would give to each and every person here an ear to hear today. Lord, that ear that you often spoke about, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. And, oh, Lord, you're talking about the hearing ear that allows the message to go all the way down to the heart, where it'll do us the most good. Oh, God, I pray that there are not folks here today who will let the word of God go through one ear and right out the other. Oh Lord, take it down to the heart. As your servant, all I can do is bring it to the ears of the people. But Holy God, only you can take it down to their heart. And Father, that's our prayer today. Lord, in this nation today, we need revival as never before. We are on the brink of extinction as a nation. Unless we turn back to God, and the greatest need today is to turn back to God, and that means we must repent of our sin and get our hearts right with God. And Lord, I just pray today that we will recognize the time that it is. In Christ's name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, I wonder, friends, as we gather together here today, if you know that the greatest day of our, the greatest need of our present world is to understand what time it is on God's clock. If you came to church with an ear to hear this morning, and that's your choice. But if you have that ear to hear, as I read this text, you know, my friends, God's clock says it is time to wake up. Now, brothers and sisters, I have stood before you for 5 years, and today marks the first Sunday of my 6th year as your pastor. And I think and I pray, and as I thought and I've prayed over these years, I think, good Lord, oh good Lord, what could happen if Green Valley were to ever wake up? We've got a few folks who are growing spiritually. They're wide awake. They're seeking more of God. They hunger for more of God. They want more of God. They want to be used by God. But then we have others who attend. But you're not awake. You're sound asleep, spiritually speaking. You are not growing in Christ. You hear the word and you say, oh, that's a nice, that was good, pastor. And out you go and you do absolutely nothing with it. And James had this to say. He said, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. We are living in a world of deception today, and it's so easy to deceive ourselves. Do you know what Napoleon said when he looked at China? Napoleon saw the vast teeming millions in China, and Napoleon said, there lies a sleeping giant, and let him sleep, because if he awakens, he will shake the world. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ says, I believe the devil says about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the world over, but especially here in the so-called Bible Belt. I think Satan says to himself, there lies a sleeping giant. And friends, we need to ask ourselves this question, and of our church as well. And the question is this: Lord, is all we really are is a sleeping giant? Friends, the reason I believe Green Valley is asleep is because so many of us have been chloroformed by the spirit of this age. We are bombarded on every side by all kinds of amusement. In fact, in case you didn't know, muse means to think. And the alpha prefix in front of it, amuse, means not to think. And who among us can dispute the truth that in our generation we have amused ourselves into oblivion? We live in a day when a hero is called a sandwich, life is a magazine, power is a candy bar, joy is a detergent, my sin is a perfume, and a star is somebody who's an actor or an actress who's been married 3 times and divorced 3 times, and the real thing is a soft drink. That's the day and age in which we're living in. Those are the things we got in our minds. We need to wake up. One deacon thought he'd impress his pastor. He walked into the church, so he said, "Pastor, when I come to church, what would be a good prayer for me to pray?" The pastor, knowing his way, said, "Well, Brother Deacon, why don't you try? Now I lay me down to sleep." How sad it is, friends, that we are living in a day when many pastor sermons are nothing more than bedtime stories lulling people to sleep. Instead of preaching, repent, 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 for the Jesus coming for his church is at hand. And Jesus has said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Many preach about how wonderful their members are, how good the church is, oh, how respectable we are. Friends, let me ask you a question. If you and I were all that good, why on earth would we need a Savior? We got idiots standing in pulpits in America preaching, God wants you to live your best life now. You've got to be kidding me. The best is yet to come. Heaven is awaiting. We're going home. Our best life is in heaven. It's never going to be down here on earth. We have got to, if our best life is to be here in the here and now, why on earth would we need a Savior? I don't know about you, I need a Savior. I'm thankful I've got a Savior. God's alarm clock is going off around the world. Have you listened to the news? Do you understand the time in which we are living? Can you see it? Now, if the Apostle Paul said here in the book of Romans, it is high time to wake up, how much more in our day? How much more in our day? You don't have to have eyes to see that we are living in the middle of spiritual, moral, social, and political darkness. And the call for God's child is not to be asleep in the night. The maps of the world are changing overnight. Nations are being shuffled like checkers on a checkerboard. The stage is being set, and I believe with all of my heart, the final act in the drama of the ages has commenced. Let me ask you, do you feel that way? What are you thinking about? Or are you just amusing yourself while you play games on your phone? You know, sadly, I think our world's become a bunch of thumb idiots. Don't take that personally, but a lot of people just spend a lot of time doing this all the time, don't they? Either that or we're posting on Facebook. We're constantly amusing ourselves in some kind of way. You'd have to be dead not to realize there's an ominous sense that we're living in the end of time. And the saddest thing in all the world is that too many of our churches are like old Samson, sound asleep on Delilah's lap. And like Samson, we are so powerless that when we do rise up, nothing happens because the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Now God's clock commands here in this text, it is time to get up. It's not only time to wake up, friend, it is time to get up. Look again here, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. You know the problem we have? We come to church. We listen to our Sunday school teachers. We come to church. We listen to our pastors. And oh, our teachers and our pastors stir us. They wake us up. But the problem is when we wake up, we don't get up. We just roll over in bed and we yawn in the face of God and go right back to sleep. Until the next message. Friends, do you realize you've all heard enough messages? You've all heard enough Sunday school teaching? You've all heard enough to know that you need to go and tell those closest to you, those you're concerned about, that Jesus is coming and it's not far off. That Jesus is coming. Get right, repent, be right, make certain you are going home. That's the day we're living in. What are you going to do with Jesus? We asked you that last week. You need to really think about what are you going to do with Jesus, because I'm going to tell you one more time. One of these days, you're going to be standing face to face with Jesus Christ. And then your trembling heart's going to be asking, what is Jesus going to do with me? You need to think about what you're going to do with Jesus now, because one of these days you're going to be standing before Jesus. And if you don't do anything with Jesus now, your trembling heart's going to be wondering, what is Jesus going to do with me? The Bible says here, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. What time is it? Friend, it is later than you think. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're listening to me today, because it is later than you think it is. Friends, it is later in this age than you think. The sands of time are running low, and we're living in the closing shadows of the dispensation of grace. The stage is set for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, for Him to give the shout, to trump the sound, and the church is going heavenward. Don't get left behind. Everywhere you look today, we are seeing the prophecy of God's Word being fulfilled before us. Everything is fitting right into the sockets of God's holy Word. It may be this week that the Lord Jesus Christ would come for His own. Could be next year, I don't know, neither do you, but we know this, Jesus is coming. You say to me, oh, Pastor, you're just being alarmist. Oh, no. No, sir, no, ma'am, I'm being a realist, and I know the Word of God. And friend, I want you to know that it is later in your life than you think it is. Whether Jesus is coming, I'm telling you this, you are going. How many in this congregation are over the age of 50? Raise your hand. Get them on up there if you're over the age of 50. Just look around, friend. I have my hand up too. Do you know what happens when you're beyond the age of 50? You're in the NFL. Do you know what that means? You're not for long. You are not for long. Most of us, we're on the back nine. I think I'm probably on tee number 17. I got maybe two holes left to play. Just a few more days and we're going home. We're not going to beat the system. Listen, we got some 80-year-olds, some 90-year-olds in our congregation. God bless you. But most of us aren't going to live that long. May God teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, I've been preaching long enough now that I can look. And I can see the end out there somewhere. And I'm beginning to say, Lord, how many months do I have? Lord, how many years do I have? How many weeks do I have? How many hours do I have left to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I want you to know it's later than you think it is. It's later in the day of opportunity than you think it is. God is giving us a window. And God has given us a large window. But that window is shrinking. And I don't know how long the window of opportunity, especially here in godless America, that the window of opportunity is going to stay open. The Lord Jesus Christ said in His day, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, it is wonderful to have a beautiful church to come into every single Sunday. Thank God we're not living in some police state where we have to fear someone shutting us down. But let me tell you, the noose is tightening. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The time cometh. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he do God a service. Christians today are considered the troublemakers in this world. If we could just shut Pastor Don up, if we could just shut the church up, if we could just knock those fundamentalists out, if we could just get rid of the church, all the things that we could do. And we're seeing it happen, aren't we? When I came to Green Valley, I never thought I'd have to go down to the government center and stand before the board of supervisors and address them and tell them to hold to God's values. Never thought we'd have to stand before the government leaders and tell them you uphold the Word of God. Never thought we'd have a fight with LGBTQIA+. You know why they have a plus on there? Because they still keep making them up. Never thought we'd have to deal with critical race theory. What has happened to America? I'll tell you what's happened to America. We put God out of America and hell came in. And that's what's happened to America. It's later in the day of opportunity than you think. What do you hear on the news? If we could just shut them pastors up. Later in the day than you'd ever dream. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. My friend, let me tell you something about heaven. Heaven's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And right now, I got to admit to you, I'm a little homesick for heaven. If it wasn't for my responsibilities here, if it wasn't for my dear wife and my family, I'd love to just step right on over into heaven. Now, I'm not being grim. I'm enjoying the life that God has given me. God has honored His promise to me. He said to me, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Look at my family. What an abundance that God has given me. Oh, I've lived the promise of God. God has been faithful to His promise. He gave me an abundant life, and I pray He's given you the same. But I want to go to heaven. What about you? Do you know what you won't get to do in heaven? Have you ever stopped to think about what it is that you will not get to do in heaven? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's win souls. You aren't going to do any soul winning in heaven. Have you ever thought about it? You're going to praise God. You're going to serve God. But you will not win any souls in heaven. That's because the only people that are going to heaven are the people who are already saved. They aren't going to need to be won. Have you ever thought about it? For all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, all the soul winning you're going to get to do is going to be just in this few years of life that God gives to you. Right here, right now. When you leave, you'll never have the opportunity again to win souls to Christ. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul without one soul with which to greet Him? Must I empty-handed go? Adrian Rogers was a wonderful pastor. He's been dead a few years now. But Adrian Rogers told this story, and I think it's appropriate to share it today. He said a member of his church lay dying. Pastor, come to see me. Adrian said, I went to see him, and I went into that back bedroom, and we sat, and we talked, and we prayed. And then he looked at me, and he was a longtime member of our church and a respected member. And he looked up at me through those eyes, and he said, Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. I know Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not afraid to die. But he said, Pastor, I am ashamed to die to meet my Savior. Ashamed. He said, Pastor, I'm not a soul winner. I've never won anybody to Jesus Christ. I've never witnessed. I've never told anybody about Jesus Christ. He said, Pastor, I'm ashamed to die, to meet Jesus empty-handed. Pastor Rogers said that's one of the most pathetic things that he'd ever heard in all his ministry. The man was a knowledgeable man, or a personable man, a man with ability who wasn't afraid to die. He was ashamed to die. What time is it? You listen to this, Pastor. It is time for you to wake up. It's time for you to get up. And it's time for you to get at it. The day is spent. The night is spent. The day is at hand. We need to get up and go about our Master's business. Let me ask you, when you woke up this morning, did you say, Lord, what do you have for me to do? Are you ready to engage in your Master's business? Or did you just say, well, we got to go on down to church, put in our time, get on out of there, and then we're going to be doing all this other stuff this afternoon? Whose business are you really about? Whose business ought you to be about? Friend, all those things you care about that you think are so important now, I'm going to tell you they're not going to be important the day you meet Jesus. On the day you meet Jesus, you're going to wish you would have been about your Father's business. Oh, we need to be about our Father's business because life is too short, eternity is too long, souls are too precious, and the gospel is too wonderful for us to merely take it easy. We need to be living in keeping with the emergency and the urgency of this hour. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. He also, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote another book called 1 Corinthians. If you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't ask you to do this often, but you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you find verse 29. When you're there, shout amen. Now I want you to note what he says. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Now I want you to note he's saying the same thing here that he's saying in the book of Romans. Do you see it? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Well, knowing this, how then should we be living? The passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us how we're to be living. Our partners cannot come first. Look at the verse. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. What does this mean? Does it mean I tell my dear Michelle, well, honey, the time is short. So hit the road, girl. I just don't want to be married to you anymore. No, that isn't what it means at all. I tell you what it means. It means, dear friend, in keeping with the urgency and the emergency of these days, even my precious wife, whom I would die for, cannot be first. Jesus Christ must be first in my life. Listen, my Michelle knows she is not first in my life, and she is glad she is not. Jesus Christ is first in my life, and my wife knows that I love her more, so much more than I could ever love her if I put her first. By loving Jesus Christ first and having him first in my life, I love her and can give her more love than she could have ever received. You see, I believe that any woman with just a modicum of intelligence would gladly be in second place to Jesus Christ. Because then she will receive more love from her husband than she could any other way. Now our partners cannot come first. I want you to note this verse. Our problems can't come first. Look at verse 30. And they that weep, as though they wept not. You say, oh, Pastor, I got problems. I got sorrows. Oh, I got heartaches. I got disappointment. Well, as your pastor, I say to you, what are you going to do? You going to sit around and lick your wound? No, sir. No, ma'am. You need to get up. And you need to get busy for Jesus Christ. Time is too short to spend it with your sorrow. Our partners, our problems cannot come first, nor can our pleasures. Look at verse 30 again. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Now the Bible's not against recreation. The Bible's not against relaxation. Recreation and fun, they all have their place. But do you know if you stand around the average group of Christians today, you would not think the world is on fire. But friend, do you realize our world is on fire today? But if you stand around a bunch of average Christians, you wouldn't know the world is on fire. You wouldn't believe the situation in America is as it really is. You wouldn't believe the situation in the world is as it really is. Because we're a pleasure-mad society. Our pleasures come first. It's sort of like one brother I was talking to one time in my first church. That's 20-some years ago. He looked at me, he said, well, Pastor, let me tell you, church isn't a bad thing unless I got something better to do. Fishing came first. Pleasure came first. Anything and everything came first. What comes first for you? God? I hope so. What comes first for you? I heard somewhere of a chaplain who asked some boys who are getting ready to go into battle, if you can believe this. He said, do you want me to conduct religious services or do you want me to just tell you a good story? And one of those boys said, well, that's how you feel. Just tell us a story. He was right. There's something else that cannot come first, and that's our possessions. Look at verse 30. And that they buy as though they possess not. Has this world gotten a hold on you? Are you laying up treasure for the last days while the world is going to hell? Do you know Americans spend as much on chewing gum as they spend in a year as they spend on world missions? Here's something even more amazing than that. Americans spend more in 52 days in dog food than they spend in a year for world missions. Now, I'm not against feeding dogs, but where are the priorities of God's children? Do you know what most Christians are trying to do, including your pastor? Lose weight. How many of you out there are trying to lose weight? Raise your hand this morning. All right. Now, this is going to shock you. Someone once wrote that for every pound of overweight that you are, you have to spend a dollar and a half on groceries to feed that pound. Now, that's a crazy statistic. But somebody worked that out. It costs you that much more for groceries for you to take care of that pound, to nourish that pound of being overweight. What's sad is that dollar and a half you're spending per pound is over more than 90% of a Christian spend on world missions or that they're giving to foreign missions. Souls are being lost because we hoard it. We store it. We can all we get all we can, and sit on the can. Yeah, the Bible teaches retirement, laying up something for old age, but no genuine Christian ever retires from serving Jesus Christ. When he quits, he just has more time on his hands. But you know what happens when you're hoarding up? You say, that's where my security is. My security's not in Jesus. I just give lip service to that. My security's in my stuff. Friend, you need to put your security in Jesus Christ and not your stuff. Amen? He's the only one who can meet all of your needs. And he has promised to do so. Get your money and your stuff working for God. Working for souls to bring people to Jesus. Then look at verse 31. This present world can't come first either. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The Bible teaches, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For this world is passing away. And the Bible teaches, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is there any contradiction in those things? Not at all. If you love the world as God loves this world, you wouldn't love the world as you ought not to love the world. That's what he's saying. He's saying, use this world. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to have recreation. You need a house. You need a car. But don't allow these things to lull you to sleep. God is saying it is time to wake up. It is time to get up. And then it is time to dress up. Now back there in Romans 13, verse 14, you go back there real quick, if you will. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I just heard my Sunday school teacher talking about this morning, teaching on this. Friend, you are to be dressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to wake up. You need to get up. You need to dress up. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, friend, what are you going to put on when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 12. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That's the bedclothes. And let us put on the armor of light. Verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your spiritual armor in this world of sin. As you go out tomorrow, you're to be clothed in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your spiritual armor is Jesus Christ. And we're going to go out into this wicked world clothed in the armor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like a suit of clothes. The Bible teaches us to put on the whole armor of God. We're to be girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the shoes of peace, wearing the helmet of salvation, taking hold of the shield of faith, and carrying the sword of the Spirit. And all these are just a picture of Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our salvation. He is our peace. And by golly, He better be your truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. When you put on the armor, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, we need to wake up and we need to tell Jesus, I'm putting on the truth. Lord, search me. That's how we need to begin to pray. Lord, search me. Is there a lie in my life I'm believing? Do I tell the truth? Lord, am I putting on truth? Lord, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus, is there any sin in my life? Anything? Big or small? A sin of the flesh? A sin of the spirit? A sin of omission? A sin of commission? Lord, is there sin in me? I confess every known sin. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord Jesus, I'm putting the gospel of peace upon my feet. Lord, you take me to one who needs to know about you today, and I'll tell him about a Savior who's so wonderful, who died on Calvary's cross to forgive a wretch like me. Oh, His amazing grace. Hallelujah. He is a God who saves. Lord Jesus, I got the gospel of peace on my feet. Is there anything, Lord, that I'm worried about? Lord Jesus, are you my peace? Do I have peace with you because I'm resting in you? You know what happens when you're dressed up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? High above your sorrow sits the Lord Jesus Christ. All around your tears is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us He bottles up our tears. One day some of us are going to get home to heaven and there's going to be a gallon bottle of tears or more because we've cried so much. He's over our aches. He's over our pains. He's over our failures. He's over our shame. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to close with this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's ahead. But my brother over here sang a song this morning. I know Jesus ahead. I know who's ahead. Amen. Oh, friend. I know the Lord Jesus was born on time. The Lord Jesus died on time. The Lord Jesus rose on time. And hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a coming on time. He may seem slow. Here's a question I'm going to ask Him when He comes for me. What took you so long? But I'm thankful He's slow for some of you because some of you need to get your hearts right with Jesus. I'm just being honest this morning. If you want to get mad at me, I don't care. You get your heart right with Jesus so that heaven is your home. Don't talk about heaven. Make sure you're going to heaven. Because you know, as the old song says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. You be certain you're going home to heaven. Jesus Christ was here before there was anything to fear, and He'll be here long after everything we feared is gone. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. What time is it? It's time to wake up. It's high time to get up, and it's past time to clean up. Wake up. Get up. Clean up. Because soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I consider everybody here my friend. Lord, I got some family in this church. It's some wonderful family. I got some who aren't yet a part of this family. They need to be a part of this family, but Lord, they're my friend. And Lord, I wonder, and I'm going to ask them today in my closing prayer, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get up? Are you going to wake up? Are you going to clean up? Because Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Oh God, bring that home this morning. Help them to understand today is a day of opportunity. They might not have another opportunity like they have today to get their heart right with Jesus. For some, this might be the day of their salvation. Oh, Lord, don't let them walk out. I pray the Father's been drawing them that they'll come. But there's others. Lord, you know them. And Lord, they need to come and they need to confess their sin here at the altar. They need to get cleaned up with you. And oh, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would move in this church as it's not moved in quite some time. Friend, what is God asking you to do today? Brother Marty, if you'll come and begin to lead us in our closing hymn this morning, Tell It to Jesus couldn't be a better song. Tell It to Jesus. Father God, would you touch hearts today? In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.